Welcome to Vows to Keep Radio with David and Tracy Sellers. The mission of Vows to Keep is to help couples develop a biblically healthy marriage through the application of God's Word and a deeper relationship with Him. They desire to help you and your spouse grow closer to each other and closer to the heart of God's design for your marriage. Now, here's David and Tracy with today's broadcast.
You married a sinner, and so did they. Don't be disillusioned that your marriage is going to escape sin, that it could escape the hurt and consequences that come along with that sin. Whether you and your spouse fight over the family finances from time to time, or if you're in an all-out war over every situation, every issue, your marriage is in need of reconciliation. Only a marriage devoid of all trespasses doesn't need this message from God's Word today about reconciliation. But when sin runs rampant and hateful, hurtful words fly across the room between a husband and a wife, most couples are looking for a way out of the marriage rather than a way to stay in such a situation. Your heart can be so hurt that it's just easier to turn off those feelings, to shut out godly advice, easier to harden your heart so that you don't have to deal with it any longer. You might ask, why would I want to reconcile with a spouse who does such hateful and hurtful things to me?
Or maybe you're in the other camp. Maybe you're the one who does want to be in unity with your spouse, the kind of unity that you used to have or the kind that you see that others have. Maybe you do wish for reconciliation, but none of your attempts at gluing the pieces back together holds any hope for you anymore. Let's get this truth out in the open right up front today. Reconciliation begins at the heart level. No part or piece of having peace again with your spouse can be attained without addressing what's in your heart. You might be saying, well, I've been trying, but my spouse's heart needs to change too for this to work. And I would say yes to that, and I would also say no to that statement. If you're married, God wants you to stay married to that person. You can't change their heart. Only God can. So in the meantime, here's our advice to you. Pray for them. Model the love of Christ to them. And ask God to change your heart. That's where reconciliation starts. That's where it begins, with you, right now. Not when both of you are at the same point. She might be much further behind you in her change process. So don't wait for her to change before you do the right thing.
So today on Vows to Keep Radio, we're going to try to answer that question. Why would I want to reconcile with a spouse who does hateful things to me? We find our answer in the New Testament, the book of 2 Corinthians. Here it is, plain and simple, because of Christ's love for us. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15. It says, for the love of Christ controls and compels us. We're going to study 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and see the beautiful message of the gospel of Jesus Christ for our own hearts and the saving gospel of Jesus Christ for our marriages.
Think back with me for just a moment about when you first became a Christian. When I first accepted Jesus as my Savior, I was just a little girl. I understood that I was a sinner, and I fessed up to the fact that I couldn't do anything about my sin, and I'm really still very grateful that someone took the time to tell me how to become a Christian. And then I took that little step that became a giant leap from eternal death into eternal life. Why? It's simply because I believed. But it was many years before I realized that the good news of my sins being forgiven wasn't just a one-time event to look back upon. The gospel of Jesus Christ and what he did for me on the cross became more real to me when I became a preacher. No, not a preacher up in front of a congregation on a Sunday morning. I mean when I became a preacher to myself, when I told myself the truths of the gospel daily, when I went to the foot of the cross and knelt down to the one who I owed it all to, daily, when I still recognize moment by moment that I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. I need Him to take even my next breath. And let me tell you, consistently viewing myself in the light of the cross has changed everything for me. So when was the last time you reviewed the facts? When was the last time you preached to yourself? When do you hear the good news of salvation? Maybe at church every once in a while? When you happen upon a chapter like Romans 3 or 5 or 6 in your Bible, that's not enough. The banquet table of the gospel is laid out before us every new morning that God gives us. We can either walk past the table and look at all the good food and yet still go hungry throughout our day and trying futilely to fill up on this world, or we can admit our hunger, pull up a chair, and dine at the most lavish meal we've ever eaten at, one that satisfies and cleanses and renews every single time.
It's with this mindset and with an eye on God's power for your salvation and hope for our marriages to be reconciled that we're going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It reads like this: "For the love of Christ controls and compels us, since we believe that Christ died for all. We also believe that we have all died to our old life. He died for everyone, so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. So we have stopped evaluating others, even stopped evaluating our spouses, I might interject, from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. That means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. Their old life is gone. A new life has begun." Now, as I read these next three verses, I want you to count how many times God uses the word reconcile. Picking up in verse 18, "And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us the task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation." Continuing in verse 20, "So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, 'Come back to God. Be reconciled to God.' For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ." To be frank, it's only our sinful pride that causes us to reject this message. We think we know what's best. We think that we might be happier apart from Christ or apart from our spouse. We regard our spouse from our own point of view, in light of their mistakes, the things they've done against us. We have forgotten that we have been made new in Christ. We have believed the lie that God is only able to forgive our sins, but not strong enough to put our marriage back together. We've stopped telling ourselves the gospel, as Tracy was talking about. We're starving spiritually because it's been ages since we pulled up the chair and ate of the truth offered to us in Christ Jesus.
And our spiritual emaciation shows in the lack of good fruit in our marriage. Our bones are sticking out, so to speak. The lack of the gospel being lived out in our homes and lives has wasted away our spiritual health. The choice really is yours. You can choose to walk around in the futility of your thinking and stumble in the dark, or you can accept the gospel, the good news of salvation. Salvation capable of not only making you right with God, but also capable of making your spouse right with him as well. I pray that these verses have opened the eyes of your heart today to see that reconciliation really is the heartbeat of God. This is why you should want to be reconciled to your spouse, because God's word gives us clear directive to exemplify Jesus to them, to love them like he loved us, to remember with a humble heart that we were the ones that were once far away. Our sin had separated us from God, but he patiently waited for you and I to turn back to him and accept his free gift of salvation. God doesn't make us pay. He already paid the price for our sins, and you don't have to make your spouse pay for all the wrong they've done to you. Jesus already paid that price as well. He took the punishment for our sins upon himself. That's all of our sins. All the sins your spouse has ever or will ever commit have been paid for, and it's not our job to try to pay recompense for what we've done. The Bible says if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And the same goes again for your spouse. They've had the same offer held out to them that you have, a Savior who lived a perfect life so that he could die a criminal's death in our place. And that's the new light we need to see our spouse in and our spouse's sin in. If they don't know Jesus as their Savior, then I encourage you today to pray that God will open the eyes of their heart to see him and accept him as Savior. And if they're a believer, but they're blinded by their sin right now, pray that they would no longer be deceived by the enemy. Pray that the eyes of their hearts would be enlightened to the gospel once again, and that they would have the courage and humility to turn from their sin and replace sinful behavior with actions and thoughts and words that would honor God.
There's never a situation so horrible that precludes it from being made right again by Him. There's no person with a sin so terrible, so grievous, that God would turn His back on that man or woman. Every situation, every person, every marriage can have reconciliation. And it is not because of anything great that we are or anything great that we would do, but because we have an amazing gospel of good news that only comes through Jesus Christ. Praise God, He is in the business of reconciliation. And 2 Corinthians 5 tells us that He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. I mean, think about that. That's quite a task. What an honor it is.
You're listening to Vows to Keep Radio with David and Tracy Sellers. Vows to Keep wants to help. If you have a marriage question, please email questions@vowstokeep.com. Vows to Keep will respond to you via email and perhaps use it on the air. Now let's rejoin David and Tracy Sellers with the remainder of today's broadcast.
So if reconciliation is possible for every heart, every marriage, and reconciliation is done at that heart level, practically speaking, how do we get there from here? What does reconciliation look like? Here is what you need to walk away with today. Write this down. Reconciliation is first confession. It's then repentance, and finally, forgiveness. I'm going to say that one more time. Reconciliation is first confession, then repentance, and finally, forgiveness. And as we walk through these today, I don't want you to view each step with your spouse in mind. I want you, for a moment, to set their mess aside and to look at what you are called to do according to God's word, despite what they've chosen, even if they never actually make the right choice themselves. That first step is confession. James 5:17 says, "Confess your sins to one another and you'll be healed." What powerful words in marriage.
When you're ready to seek reconciliation, go to your spouse with a repentant heart, completely looking at only your sins and not theirs. And in your confession to your spouse, specifically admit hurts and offenses and sins, and specifically identify sinful attitudes and thoughts as well as actions and behavior. It's really important to acknowledge the hurt that you've caused and remember to avoid blame shifting. You might be picturing this conversation with your spouse right now, and you're not seeing that this kind of conversation is going to soften their heart. You might not see that fruit right away. What you might get is a finger pointing in your face and a loud, raised voice and a yell, your spouse saying to you, "Why is it taking you so long to get to this point?" If that's the case, I encourage you to wait patiently for them to finish and then continue to share with them your heart to be made right with them and with God. Tell your spouse that you want to repent before God for your sins. And then here is the big one. Pray. Pray right then and there if you can with your spouse as witness, repenting before God and asking both him and your spouse for forgiveness. How powerful this first step can be.
That second step again is repentance. Ken Sandy in his book, The Peacemaker, says that repentance is more than a feeling. So it doesn't simply mean that we're going to feel bad because we did something wrong. He says to repent means to literally change the way we think. This is what Romans 12:2 means when it says, "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think." Repentance is recognizing you're a sinner and your sin is rebellion against God and what His word is actually telling us to do. Repentance is an unyielding turning to God in total obedience. This step is individual. It's a spiritual about face just between us and God. Repentance is knowing you've missed the mark and then renouncing that sin and replacing it with words and actions and thoughts that are according to God's word. True repentance will be seen in the fruit of someone's life. An apology does not equate to repentance. A heart-level confession to God with a true cry for His forgiveness and help to change will result and your outward actions changing as well. But repentance begins by confessing a specific sin to God and then turning away from those sins.
It's so tempting to see our sin as small compared to our spouse's. It's so easy to believe that we do not need to repent of our seemingly small sin because it really doesn't look as bad as theirs. But God's word tells us that we've all sinned, we've all fallen short of the glory of God, and that every sin, I mean every sin, is worthy of spiritual death. So take time to examine your heart, asking God to show you areas of sin in your life. And if you're still not sure of those specific areas that require repentance, I want to give you this little homework assignment. If you can write it down right now, great. If not, I'm going to put it on our Facebook page. Write this down. I want you to read the following passages: Ezekiel chapter 14, verses 1 through 5, Luke chapter 6, verses 43 through 45, and James chapter 4. I'm going to say that one more time. Ezekiel chapter 14, verses 1 through 5, Luke chapter 6, verses 43 through 45, and James chapter 4. All in all, truly about 7 to 10 minutes of reading, not much in the investment of your marriage. And as you read those this week, I want you to just write down some notes, maybe a journal, maybe just a simple notebook, of those significant or hostile conversations that you have with your spouse. You know, the ones I'm talking about, or even those conversations that you're avoiding. Write down specifically these things: what you are doing, thinking, feeling, and expecting in those conversations before, during, and after them. Again, write down specifically what you were doing, thinking, feeling, and expecting before, during, and after each conversation. This is going to help you to see areas of your heart that are in violation to God's word. It's a heart examining assignment. If you're willing to do it, it'll show where our hearts need to change and where we need to seek forgiveness and reconciliation. Like I said, I'm going to put this post on our Facebook page. So if you didn't get a chance to write them down, you can see them at facebook.com/vows to keep.
The third step in the process of reconciliation is forgiveness. To have reconciliation with our spouses, we have to continually be reminded of God's forgiveness toward us. We can't give something away that we don't have. And in this case, we have it in spades. Remember the verse we read earlier from 2 Corinthians 5:19. It says, God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. God reconciled us to himself through Jesus. Jesus is that bridge between us and God, and he is the bridge between us and our spouse. Whatever your spouse's sin is, probably pales in comparison to what we find in Hosea chapter 3. We see a beautiful picture, though, of how God feels about us despite our sin, and an explanation of how we're to treat our spouses when they sin against us. It says, "The Lord said to me, 'Go show your love to your wife again, although she's been loved by another man and she's an adulteress. Love her like the Lord loves the Israelites.'" Imagine that. In comparison to your own situation, your own marriage, God might be compelling you. I think God is compelling you. Just like he compelled Hosea to love Gomer, there's this beautiful picture of Christ dying for our sins while we're still sinning. And that is exactly what is described in this chapter. It can be so difficult in our humanness to even consider at times giving forgiveness to someone when I look at all of their infractions against me. But God's word calls us to nothing less than that, just forgiveness. God would never command us to do something that he doesn't empower us to do. Forgiveness towards others comes when we remember how loving and gracious, how slow to anger, and how abounding in forgiveness our God has been toward us, toward me. And then letting our renewed awareness of God's love for us compel us to forgive our spouse.
If forgiveness still seems like an impossibility, let me give you another little homework assignment that you can do this week. Let me give you some scripture to study and read on your own. Again, I'll post this on our Facebook page. Here are three stories of forgiveness. They're so powerful. They're found in the New Testament. Read about Jesus' crucifixion in Luke chapter 23. Read about the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. and read about the parable of the unforgiving servant in Matthew 18. Again, Luke 23, Luke 15, and Matthew 18. And then make a journal entry or a note on a piece of paper for each one, describing which person you most relate to in the story and why. I'm going to post these on our Facebook page at facebook.com/vows to keep. It is in forgiveness that reconciliation will take place because it demonstrates the forgiveness of God toward us. Colossians 3:13 says, "Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others."
Ken Sandy, in his book, The Peacemaker, points out the obvious. The reconciliation also requires that you give a repentant person an opportunity to demonstrate repentance and to regain your trust, knowing that forgiveness may need to be sought again and again, just like in your walk with God. Because of the reconciliation model we have in Christ, there's hope that you too and your marriage can have complete restoration. So go to your spouse, confess, repent before God, and ask for forgiveness, and then watch and see what the outcome is. You're going to see your marriage start to be restored. And if your spouse comes to you and then asks for forgiveness, be ready, be willing to extend to them what was extended to you by God. Once this process has begun, you'll begin to see the beautiful result of restoration. Restoration for your marriage can only come after confession, repentance, and forgiveness. Restoration comes from the hand of the Father who binds up the broken and builds what was torn down. We read that in Isaiah 61. Restoration for your marriage can be a time of rebuilding trust, putting respect and closeness back into your marriage as a result from a process of receiving biblical truth and living under the counsel of God. Recognize that change is not instantaneous, nor is it enough to just know the scriptures. They need to be put into action. As James 2:26 says, having faith without deeds is dead. Your marriage needs that same kind of salvation. Remember, this process of reconciliation begins in the heart. Become a preacher. Preach the gospel to yourself daily. Have your heart right with God daily. When that vertical relationship is in place, your horizontal relationship with each other will reap some serious benefits. You'll be able to get back the trust. You'll be able to put back in place the respect and the closeness because your hearts will be in the process of being transformed, looking more like Christ, and that will be reflected in how you treat each other and how you talk to each other. Like we were saying earlier, your spouse may never reciprocate or may take them longer to decide that they actually want reconciliation. In the meantime, you be the one to follow the process of reconciliation. You pray for them and make it your goal to model your Savior's love for them daily.
And we encourage you, don't go this road of restoration alone. Surround yourself with Scripture and with people who will speak the truth of Scripture into your life and into your marriage. Read the Bible daily. If that's not a current habit, make it one. Highlight passages that speak to you and go back and read them again. We encourage you to attend church weekly with your spouse if they are willing. And take notes during the sermon. Get involved in a Bible study or a small group in order to let people in on your life so that you can be further encouraged and admonished. In your process of restoration, you and your spouse are going to inevitably sin towards one another. Like we said at the beginning of the show, you married a sinner and so did they. So when they do sin against you, when it happens, because you know that it will, you're going to have to put back into practice the process of confession, repentance, and forgiveness. And remember, as we close today, God has given you the ministry of reconciliation. God's heartbeat is to bring you into right relationship with Him so that you can share what He's given you with others, so that your relationships might be restored and reconciled, so that the world will know He longs for them to be reconciled to Him.
You've been listening to Vows to Keep Radio with David and Tracy Sellers. Vows to Keep offers Christ-centered marriage resources for couples wishing to prepare, enrich, and renew their marriages. These resources include weekend retreats, conferences, date nights, and radio broadcasts across Ohio. Your financial gift will allow Vows to Keep to continue to help couples develop biblically healthy marriages. Please prayerfully consider making a donation to help serve future couples. If you'd like to make a tax-deductible donation or to find out more about Vows to Keep, visit our website at vowstokeep.com. This program is sponsored by Vows to Keep of Zanesfield, Ohio.